If you limit Jesus to the church on Sunday, the church on Sunday is the only time you'll experience it.
Dr. Tony Evans says Jesus didn't just come to visit us. He came to live in us.
If I've got somebody who's going to give me life, light, and action, he's going everywhere with me.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It can be dangerous walking around in the dark because of all the hazards that wouldn't be hazards if you could only see where you're going. Dr. Evans says the same is true spiritually, and today he'll tell us how to put some heavenly light on the subject. Let's join him.
One of the biggest hoaxes perpetrated in our day, in our era, and progressively over the last couple of centuries, is the hoax of evolution. Evolution is not merely about how things got started, although it is that, but it's about the implications of that worldview. Today we want to look at the name of Jesus, who's called the Word. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says of Jesus, his name shall be called the Word of God. That concept of Jesus being the Word is given to us in more detail in the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word for the word Word is logos. Logos. That is a very important word tied to my introduction. You see, that was a very powerful word in the day that Jesus was living. So when John writes his epistle, he takes the word logos and infuses it with another meaning. He takes a word that they already knew, that was already understood to be this powerful force that was behind everything in creation, and he injects it with truth. And when he does, he repeats the logos a number of times in this passage. Number one, the Word was in the beginning. Whatever the Word is, it was at the start of things. Not only was it in the beginning, but it was in the beginning as a was, not as an is. So the Word preceded the beginning. So whatever the Word is preceded when things got created. So that is the preexistence of the Word. The second thing we're told is that the Word was with God. The Word not only preexisted, it coexisted. That the word with means face to face. So whatever this word is, it was in high communication with God. It was face to face with God. They looked into each other's eyes, so to speak. They stared at each other. So the word was prior to the beginning. The word was in communion, coexisting with God back in the beginning and prior to it. And then we're told that the Word was God. So whatever the Word is, it was preexistent, coexistent, and self-existent. Because God is the only person who does not need anything out of himself to be himself. Nothing else in creation can be what it is without depending on something else. And so he says the Word is self-existent, that is self-contained. He says all things came into being through him. Verse 3, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The Word, whoever the Word is, because the Word is a who, is responsible for creation. So let's get this straight. Whoever the Word is responsible for creation, because nothing came into being that did not come into being through the word. At this point, evolution has been canceled out. Because evolution is dependent upon impersonal forces at work. Not a person, but forces. Creation is tied to a he, not a it. Creation is tied to a person, not some scientific principle. Nothing has come into being that was not brought into being by the word that was in the beginning with God, that was God, that's a he. So when your children or you, whether in now elementary school or junior high or college, are taught the evolutionary theory as an evolutionary fact, they're being handed false religion. Because they're being called to a belief system of an impersonal force that is responsible for all creation. It is not only unbiblical, it is illogical. So I would challenge anybody to go home and empty your garage of everything. Just take everything out of your garage so it's an empty space and wait as many years as necessary for a Rolls Royce to drive up in there. You can wait forever, but you're not going to get something orderly coming into empty space. But evolution would have you believe that that is how the world expanded over myriads of years. Now, you have to understand why they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that because then you're not accountable to a creator. So it's bigger than how the world got started. It's I don't want to have to answer to somebody who will control me and override my decisions. I want to be my own God, so I need an impersonal force to explain creation. So much of the chaos you're seeing in society today is due to a system of evolutionary thought that removes God so that man can be independent. And it's showing up in crime, it's showing up in personal conflict, it's showing up in abortion, because there is no God, you get to define life. You get to define your own body. You get to define, because you have no God, and evolution is impersonal, then you get to make your own decisions. You get to know your own truth. You get to run things the way you want to run them, because there's nobody to whom you must be ultimately accountable. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was responsible for creation. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 puts it this way. In the last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Because we're talking about the Word. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God made the world through his Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I want to read these so that you can know it. You can read it to your children. You can help them to understand why this is so critical. Verse 16 says, by him, by Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The Word is responsible for creation. And he did not only make it through him, he made it for him. Okay, now that's just everything. The world was not just made for you. The world was made for the Word. Jesus is the Word. So when God created the world through Jesus, he gave it back to him as a present for Jesus. When you read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. He says in verse 4, in him was life, and watch this, and the life was the light of men. Stay with me. We're going somewhere with this. In him was life, and his life was the light. In order to have light, you got to see straight. Light helps you to see. In him was life, and life gave light. Let me reverse it. If there is no life, there will be no light. Because people reject the light, they live in darkness. That's why he says what he says in verse 4. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Because when Jesus Christ is rejected, you walk in darkness, the world walks in darkness. Because it's rejected, the only thing that gives life, and the one that gives life also gives light. So if you don't see straight, it's because his life is not lighting you up. He says, I want to light you up, but I can only light you up with my life. That's why wherever Jesus went during his time on earth, he was giving people life. He was healing them. They could see now. They could walk. He was trying to say, I bring life with me. But if you reject me, you will now have to make your way in the dark. You know something about light? It always overcomes darkness. No matter how dark it is, you put on a candle or put on a flashlight, everything changes. Jesus says, if I get in the middle, everything will change because I am the light and I bring with me life. Many people today, even Christians, are functioning in spiritual darkness because they won't let Jesus be the light. Okay, now you wait a minute. You're saying, okay, well, wait a minute. How does this work? How does this work? A simple principle. I just read it to you, but let me go a little deeper. By him, all things were created that have been made. And watch this. And they were created through him and for him. So nothing in creation is designed to work right without him. Nothing in creation, because it was all created by him and it was created for him. So it's designed not to work right without him, because he gives life to it. So whenever Jesus Christ is excluded, darkness seeps in to any area of creation.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more on Jesus Christ's connection to every area of our lives. First, though, Tony has written a book that makes a perfect follow-up for what he's been teaching us. It's called The Power of Jesus' Names, a journey through what the Lord's various titles tell us about his nature and character. This life-giving book will give you a generous dose of direction when you're lost and deliverance when you're stuck, not to mention forgiveness and grace that'll literally turn death into life. Request it today, and it's yours as our thank you gift when you make a generous contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. If you do that right away, we'll add a whole collection of special bonuses, the interactive study guide that'll help you or your small group drill down into the deep meaning of Jesus' names, plus a companion DVD with custom content for each lesson that Tony recorded on location in Israel. You'll also get all 11 full-length CDs in Tony's current series, Encountering Jesus' Names. Visit us before time runs out at tonyevans.org, where you can get the details and make your request online. Or call 1-800-800-3222. Members of our resource team are there 24/7 to help you in person. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message after this.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
There is nothing you touch, no place you go, that's not tied to something he created. When you leave church today and go to your car, the only reason you can get in your car is because steel exists. The only reason you can go down the road is because rubber exists. In other words, Everything in your car is borrowed from something that has been created. So the only way you get to drive home today is because Jesus created the raw materials that could make the car so you didn't have to walk here today. If when you leave church today, you leave Jesus sitting on the pew while you go to the parking lot, you leave light and you now go into darkness. Because it was all made for him. The car you drive was made for him. The house you live in was made for him. The job you work was made for him. It's all made for him. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to his glory. Because it was all made to boomerang back to him. So the more it boomerangs back to him, the more life is infused in it. And the more life that is infused in it, the more light you get from it. So things begin to make sense and you become more alive because the life-giving person gets back what he made for himself in the first place. It was all designed to come back to him. And that is the concept that we have to get, that all of life revolves around Jesus Christ and his centerpiece being the centerpiece of life. Now, he comes down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So let me show you one other passage. Philippians chapter 2, the passage we continually go back to. Here's how it works. Verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, it's talking about Jesus. He's getting into deep theology here. Although he, Jesus, existed in the form of God. So there was a time he did not exist as a man. Although he existed in the form of God, it says, he did not regard equality with God. Now, I've just said, Jesus is equal to God. He did not regard equality as God as a thing to be grasped or held on to at all cost. In other words, he was equal with God, but he didn't let his equality keep him from carrying out his responsibility. While me and God are equal, I still have a role to play and I'm going to play it. So he did not regard equality to be lost just because he had a role to play. Same thing in a family. A woman is equal to a man in the family, but there are different roles that have to be played. So equality must always be recognized and roles must always be played. And if equality is recognized but roles are played, then progress is made in history. It's the job of the devil to either cancel out equality or mix up roles. The reason why Satan went to Eve in the garden before he went to Adam was to get Adam and Eve to switch roles. Because if he could get Eve to take Adam's responsibility and Adam to take Eve's responsibility, he could flip roles and therefore bring chaos. Jesus is equal to God, but he knows his role. And so he did not regard equality as something that he could not give up and that he could not limit the independent use of his attributes regarding. So what did he do? But he emptied himself. We call this in Greek the kenosis. He poured his deity into humanity. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, doulos, that means slave, and being made in the likeness of men. Remember, he's in flesh. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What I'm trying to say is when we're dealing with Jesus, you are dealing with the Word. And when you're dealing with the Word, you're dealing with God. And when God speaks, he acts. It's easy to miss what I just said. God's not just woofing. He's not just talking smack. He's not just talking noise. His speech is tied to his action. The reason why you want to embrace the living Christ and his living Word is when He is embraced. Life comes. When his life comes, light comes. When his life comes and light comes, he acts. And when he acts, you see him moving. One of the reasons more Christians do not see the movement of God is because they will not allow Jesus Christ to reign and to rule over all of his creation. He's good for church, but then he's left in church. Or he's good for the morning, but then he's left at the house. He can't go public. We don't want to take him out in public. We're ashamed of him. When he's the one who's going to give you the life, give you the light, and give you the action. If I've got somebody who's going to give me life, light, and action, he going everywhere with me. I'm not leaving him out of anywhere. He going to give me light, and action. Come on now. If I want as much of Jesus as I can get my hands on, because I can now expect life and light and action at work, life, light, and action at home, life, light, and action in my finances, light, and action in my relationship. I can expect light, and action everywhere because I've not limited him to the church on Sunday. If you limit Jesus to the church on Sunday, the church on Sunday is the only time you'll experience him. Because he created everything for himself. When you get in your car, you have a reason to praise him. When you're driving down the street, you have a reason to praise him. When you get back home, you have a reason to praise him. When you go into your job, you have a reason to praise him. When you relate to your family, you have a reason to praise him. When you have to deal with your enemies, you've got a reason to praise him. Because he is the word that is in flesh that gives life, light, and he acts. The Word is God incarnate.
As Dr. Evans said, the Word is living. The question is it living in you? If not, maybe it's because you're convinced you're not worthy of God's love. Well, here's what Dr. Evans had to say about that.
Do you feel like you're too sinful, too flawed, too rebellious, that you fail too much for God to ever forgive you? Guess what? You are a perfect candidate for salvation. Jesus said that he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance and salvation. So if you're a big sinner, you've got a bigger Savior. If you go to Jesus Christ now, carry the boatload of sins with you to the cross, acknowledge him to be your Savior, acknowledge your sins needing to be forgiven, and trust him to do the forgiving that you desperately desire. He promises he will forgive you, give you eternal life, and offer you the free gift of salvation. I don't care how big your basket of sins are, carry them to Jesus. He's ready to empty them for you.
Find out more about what it means for God to live in you and through you. Visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know, and you'll find some free resources to get your new life started right. In the time we have remaining, I want to remind you about our current featured resources, a powerful collection that'll give you a fresh, more meaningful perspective on who Jesus is and how you can relate with him. It includes Tony's book, The Power of Jesus' Names, along with the interactive study guide that goes with it, the companion DVD full of custom content from Tony, plus all 11 full-length messages in his current series, Encountering Jesus' Names. All yours with our thanks when you make a donation to keep this listener-supported program on the air. But this special offer won't last, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today or reach out to our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are always on hand to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. In the Old Testament, people offered crops and sacrificed animals to make up for the things they'd done wrong. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why the church gave up that practice and what replaced it. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.